Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The difficulty in speaking about this morning's gospel rests in its familiarity. I am sure, or I venture to say, I am sure that most of us, maybe all of us, are familiar with this gospel and its other accounts in the other gospels making up the first part of the New Testament. We have the account of a rich man who comes to Jesus seeking eternal life. He is asked about the commandments, and it is the commandments that I would like us to look at. First of all, before getting to the second part of this encounter, this dialogue between Jesus and the rich man, what are the commandments that are referred to in this morning's gospel?
The commandments of Moses. The commandments of Moses.
Which commandments?
The Ten Commandments.
Not the Ten Commandments.
Some of the Ten Commandments.
Some of the Ten. Yes, we can't go wrong with some of the Ten Commandments. Which some?
Honor your father and mother.
Do not murder in the Greek. Do not bear false witness.
Do not commit adultery.
Do not steal. And do not commit adultery. And then, how does the reference to the commandments end? These five commandments are referred to, and then what sums up these commandments?
Love your neighbor as yourself.
Love your neighbor as yourself. Keep in mind, I have the text in my hand, so I have the advantage. We are hearing this account, which falls in chapter 19 of Matthew's Gospel. Earlier on in the Gospel, we hear Jesus say that perfection is contingent on loving one's neighbor. This is in chapter 5. So what is easily overseen in this morning's account is this, what's called pivotal commandment, to love one's neighbor as oneself. Now let's look at these five commandments. What category do these commandments fall under? Well, even that is honoring father and mother requires a certain kind of behavior. So they speak of behavior, but these are social commandments. Social commandments. And they are social why?
They regard
how one treats the other. Now here we have this young man, and let us assume, certainly St. John Chrysostom assumes that this man is sincere, that he has a good heart. Others, by the way, would say that he is, if not stupid, silly in asking which commandments to keep. So let us follow Chrysostom and assume that this young man is innocent, that he is sincere and asking Jesus about eternal life. Given this, let us focus again on this pivotal commandment. Love one's neighbor as oneself. Jesus begins to tell the young man, if you want to enter life, he does not say if you want eternal life, but if you want to enter life, you have to keep the commandments. So which commandments are listed, are cited? The social commandments, culminating in how one loves the neighbor. And if one is able to truly love the neighbor, then one can truly love the self. So we have this as our foundation. If you want to enter life, then keep the commandments. Keep those commandments in which you are responsible to the other. Indeed, one does not commit adultery if one has concern for the other. One does not murder unless one does not care. Or one murders because one does not care for the other. So all of these commandments, as Susan mentioned, imply or entail or include the other. Now there is then, built on this foundation, the next step. What is the next step? What is the next part of this encounter between Jesus and the young man? If you want to enter life, keep these commandments. But that is not the end of the story.
If you want to be perfect,
how do we understand this word perfect? Who said it?
Whole.
So how would we define, how would we describe this term whole? Many think of this term, if you want to be perfect, associate this term perfect, perfection, with ethics. There's something more than ethics at work here. So Jane, when you say whole, what is in your mind?
I would be complete the way I was created to be. And that would pick me up. Of course, to the way
I was. So I would be complete in that I would be faithful to how I was created by God to be. Did I get that right?
As Jesus did.
Okay.
Jesus said, okay.
Anyone else want to add to this? What does perfect mean? Perfection mean?
No mistakes. No error.
I have to take, maybe if I take my glasses off, I'll hear this.
No error.
No error, but that falls in error. What kind of error? So that can easily fall into the category of ethics. Something more than ethics is at work. If we want to be whole, we have to follow Jesus. And certainly, this is part of the dialogue. Jesus says, if you want to be perfect, what must this young man do?
He
must
sell what he has.
Sell everything and give the proceeds to the poor, and then what?
Follow.
Then follow. So discipleship is also key here. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments. If you want to be perfect, give up everything and come follow me. Now certainly, Jesus is not saying that everyone is to give up everything, sell everything, and then give the proceeds to the poor and follow him. None of us, again, I would venture to say, falls in that category. Yet we have here something at work which is extremely important relative to being a disciple of Jesus and being perfect. To be perfect is to be whole, as Jane said, and this wholeness is dependent upon our relationship with Christ. This young man is not able to be a disciple of Christ. Why?
Loves
as well. And by the way, how does this young man leave Jesus?
Sorrowful.
He leaves. Mourning. Sorrowful. He is deeply crushed by Jesus telling him to give up everything. So, everything, give the proceeds to the poor and follow him. Is crushed. He leaves sorrowful, in a sorrowful state. We have to look at ourselves regarding our relationship to Christ. Is there anything that stands between ourselves and Christ? If there is, we forfeit the possibility of being whole, of being one with Jesus, being one with the living God. If there's anything between us and Christ, then we cannot have this union and communion with the triune and tripersonal God. We cannot have this oneness or wholeness that comes from entering the divine life which is given to us as grace, as free gift. Now there's something else that is involved in this morning's reading. In addition to entering life and keeping the commandments, in addition to selling everything that one has and giving the proceeds to the poor, to be a true disciple of Christ requires, as these social commandments dictate, a particular kind of relationship with the other. What kind of relationship is being stressed this morning's meeting? Selfless, self-emptying. Anything else? To be selfless and self-emptying. We can even go beyond the commandments that are listed here.
Yeah.
J.D. Say something. Okay. There's something else. How the other is seen and treated. Ultimately, there's reference to how we serve the other. If we are selfless, if we are self-empty, then this becoming less places us in a dynamic with the other. We become less, so the other becomes more. This is what St. John the Baptist says about Christ. I must become less, Christ becomes more. Now I want to share a very interesting line from one of Chekhov's short stories. Some of you may be familiar with this story, A Boring Life. Are some of you familiar with this short story? I highly recommend it. One of the key characters, I think the main character, is Nikolai Stepanovich, a very famous professor who is in the process of dying, a man who is renowned, and yet a man who basically has no life. But he says something extremely interesting about purity and virtue. And this brings us to the commandments themselves. We can keep all the commandments. We can indeed serve the other. But does this guarantee a proper relationship with the other and ultimately a proper relationship with God? No. Why? I believe Chekhov provides an answer. Nikolai Stepanovich says, purity and virtue, these are words that we Orthodox love to use. Purity and virtue scarcely differ from vice. You get it so far? Purity and virtue scarcely differ from vice if they're not free of malice. We can be charitable. We can serve the other. We can be kind to the other. And yet, we always have to examine the motive. One can be charitable, one can be pure, or appear to be pure and virtuous, and yet, this purity and virtue are no better than vice. Why?
Oh, they're forgetting.
What?
They're for gain.
For gain, yes.
Selfish.
Selfish. So, gain and selfish. But we have to put some meat on these bones.
You need love.
You need love. And when there's no love, there is what?
No relationship.
Manipulation. Oppression. Repression. Virtue and purity, at least the semblance of virtue and purity, can have as their motive the control of the other. They can have as their motive praise and glory that comes from serving the other. This is not what the gospel is about. This is not what these social commandments are about. This is not what loving the neighbor is about. Love God, to love neighbor, is the emptying of the self. To love God and neighbor is indeed to be one who desires, with great desire, to embrace and serve the other. Even if the other, and this of course has to be taken in stages, even if the other has traumatized me, has betrayed me, has attacked me, verbally if not physically. To follow these commandments, to enter life, is not something that is easy. To love the neighbor as the self is nothing easy. To have nothing between myself and Christ is by no means easy. I want to hold on to those things that I think give me life, that I think give me stature, that I think give me security. All of this is illusion. The only one who gives life and security is God. The only one who can embrace me in true love, and who desires me to embrace in return in the act of true love, is God. And without this dynamic, we are like this young man who will leave our Lord in great pain, in great suffering, in great mourning. Jesus desires us to draw near to Him. Inasmuch as we seek to desire to draw near to the other. This is why we are gathered here celebrating this new and eternal covenant. We are people celebrating the kingdom of God. And in order for that kingdom to be revealed, what is demanded of us? What is demanded? Serve the other. But even before we get to serve the other, we have to strive to be in communion with the other. So what we hear this morning, though familiar, places great challenges before us. Not the least being, we must become less so the other becomes more. We must become less so Christ can grow within us. We have to become less so we can begin, at least begin to see the other as created in the image and likeness of God. And when we are able to do this, then this process of wholeness is taking place. Then this concept of perfection is not just a concept, but a reality revealed in the communion of persons.